Erotic fantasizing is one of the most common sexual experiences among humans.
Psychologically, fantasies can come from past experience.
It's a fantasy world. That doesn't mean that's who you are. It just means that something about this does something to you that causes you pleasure.
Sexual fantasies are a normal part of life, and some may be only hot as a fantasy. Some maybe you want to try out in real life, and this is what this episode is about, basically. Welcome to this episode of Cheeksy Chats. I'm here with
Helen,
and my name is Ameza. We are your hosts, and today's episode is about sexual fantasies. So many people are somewhat ashamed of their turn-ons, deepest desires, and some common questions are, what do my erotic fantasies actually say about me? Do they represent anything? Am I a pervert? Are my fantasies a sign of my dissatisfaction of my sex life? Or do they mean anything at all?
And this is kind of what we're going to talk about today. Talk about how we feel about it personally, what we kind of see in porn searches, and why there's such a big taboo around sexual fantasies. Right now at Cheeks, we also have a big campaign going on that's called Vote for Your Porn. And there we have a type form, also in our link description, that you can click on, where you can select things you're fantasizing about, like the location or how many people, etc., etc. And the most voted for options, we are going to make an actual porn out of them.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm, very hot. I already voted, so I'm excited. And you can vote until the 11th of August. And then sometime during the next month, the porn will get filmed and brought out. And we at Cheeksy Chats will also be guiding you along the way a bit further.
Yes!
In that part of the process. So we're excited too. And if you then actually want to view the porn that comes about from that, you can use the code CHEEKSYCHATS, CHEEXYCHATS, on getcheeks.com. There's also a link in our description. It's a 7-day code that applies when you select the yearly plan, but you can cancel or switch to the monthly plan anytime you decide to during the trial period. And yeah, you can watch the new film that we're going to make based on all of your community sexual fantasies, or just generally a lot of different content on Cheeks that has a lot of different people's fantasies in mind, because yeah, porn is a big place where people kind of go to visualize their fantasies in a way. And totally.
And this episode is about having a very sex positive look on fantasies and engage with them. It's not about judging any fantasies. We rather want to learn about them and find out about their origins and the psychology behind that. Sexual fantasies are a normal part of life, and some may be only hot as a fantasy. Some maybe you want to try out in real life, and this is what this episode is about, basically.
Yes, and I think that we also kind of want to talk about, what does it mean? As we mentioned before, there's all these questions. I personally also always have a lot of questions about my fantasies. I'm always stressed about them, or sharing them at least, and kind of we want to talk about how to be able to communicate your fantasies if it's something you want to try. Because I, for instance, also have things where I'm like, I don't think I ever actually want to do this. I just find the fantasy interesting. So we're going to talk about how to explore your fantasies in a healthy way and how to communicate them so you feel comfortable and don't feel judged or stigmatized. And we kind of want to start off with understanding what sexual fantasies are. And we would just start very basic here with the definition. We did a bunch of research, and a sexual fantasy, or an erotic fantasy, or kind of like a sensual dream, is kind of a image or mental pattern that blends with your personal sexuality, that can kind of upgrade or enhance how excited you are about something, and it is considered one component of kind of your sexuality. Erotic fantasizing is one of the most common sexual experiences among humans. Across studies, they have found that about 90 to 97% of the general population report having sexual fantasies to stimulate their desire and arousal. So it's very, very common. Almost everyone does it. And
Yeah. Makes only sense.
And it is something that we often associate with pleasure. So having sexual fantasies can kind of be a way of digging into new desires or thinking if something turns you on, the idea of it, maybe it will actually turn you on when you try it. So it's kind of also an opener to new sexual practices or finding out maybe things you're fascinated with. And there are specific themes related to sexual fantasies. There's like some that are quite common, some that also change depending on how culture changes and our awareness for things. And sexual fantasies can guide you to actually have sex practices, but they also guide a lot of masturbation routines. A lot of masturbation has to do with you fantasizing about something or someone. And yeah,
I think it's interesting because it leads you to explore new things. But I also have the feeling, as many people have, or like as every person has sexual fantasies, there are also these go-to fantasies that people always think about, or that's like their, I mean, go-to fantasy, basically. So when you're doing your thing, you're basically thinking of like your favorite thing you want to do, or like your favorite fantasy to get you into the groove, basically.
Yeah, I've also found it interesting because I also looked into kind of asexuality, which is also a spectrum. And there are, for instance, 40% of asexual people who have never had a sexual fantasy, but others do have them. Almost 10% then had a fantasy without it involving other people. So I think it's interesting that some people really don't have them on the asexual spectrum, and some do kind of fantasize but don't want to actually go into the action of engaging, or don't have it with another person, just kind of have something, a fantasy of something that, yeah, they find interesting in a erotic manner.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense because it's supernatural. Our brain does things. We'll also get into the psychology and origins of sexual fantasy. So
for sure,
makes sense that everybody has them regardless of sexuality.
And that they are, of course, shaped by different things.
Yeah.
For instance, if you're heterosexual, it often gets shaped by kind of gender expectations or roles, and that one sex is more serving and one is more dominant, and kind of it's interesting to see that there's like biased attributes that are there in society that can also be reflected upon in your fantasy life.
True. And this also reminds me of like, regardless of sexuality, you also may have some sexual fantasies that may represent nothing about you, because there's always this, it's always in movies as well, where straight dudes have maybe a dream about a guy, or like some ideation or sexual fantasy with another man. And that doesn't mean anything. That doesn't mean that you're necessarily gay, or even if you have interest, sometimes your brain or your subconscious is just doing things. And that's the case for everyone.
Yeah.
And there's like a differentiation because between common fantasies and uncommon fantasies. In the 1950s, the notion was that if you had sexual fantasies at all, it was considered a very negative idea, because it meant that you're basically dissatisfied with your relationships or with your sex life, especially among women,
of course.
And back then, or like still today, sexual fantasies are typically divided into typical and atypical. So typical erotic fantasies include the usual stuff like dominance, submissiveness, watching porn, oral, anal sex, bondage, and BDSM. And on the other hand, atypical sexual fantasies include deviant imaginations like paraphilia, which basically means atypical sexual interests. And so we have these two dynamics, normophilia and paraphilia. And the deviant sexual fantasies include 8 subtypes, which is voyeurism, exhibitionism, frotterism, sadism, masochism, fetishism, pedophilia, and transvestism. Is it pronounced transvestism?
I've never heard it, but it's about trans individuals, yeah?
I think it's about cross-dressing, basically. I don't know if they summarize more in that term, but in general, I wanted to mention that I struggle a bit with this categorization with typical and atypical, because for me, it seems like it's coming from a very specific point of view, like categorizing some sexual preferences or just fantasies as typical and atypical seems very normative or very heteronormative, very unqueer.
I also find, it kind of has this vibe of these fantasies are normal and others aren't normal. Yeah. And I think we will talk a bit later about if there's like fantasies that are dangerous or if every fantasy is fine. But I think, saying that some are normal and some aren't kind of gives, especially a lot of the deviant sexual fantasies you just mentioned are related to kind of BDSM practices and making those sound like they are worthless or that you are doing something wrong.
Freaky, weird. Yeah,
totally.
Yeah, because with some of them, I feel like normal to who or like typical to who.
Yeah.
Because if for you, something like anal oral is like a normal fantasy, but dressing up differently is weird. Then I'm wondering who wrote that.
For sure.
But the very research or the very study where I found that also admitted that the studies were largely conducted in the West and the USA or the US mostly, so they lack global views, like from Asian countries, Russia, Central and South America, and Middle Eastern countries. They included some parts of the African continent, but it's still very lacking. And as I said, for me, it seems very normative in a way to categorize it as like typical and atypical. But there's also a point to be made, I feel like, that now with globalization, many of the sexual fantasies somewhat seep over or like become cross-cultural because media now has its roots everywhere, right? And so many of the fantasies always also cross over. But with the categorization, I wanted to mention that I also found this other categorization by the sex coach Gigi Engle. I think that's how you pronounce it. And according to them, there are 3 different types of sexual fantasies. These categories are much broader, which I preferred. And they are as follows. So first is fantasies that we keep to ourselves. The second is the ones that we share with our partners to up some steaminess during sex. And the last one is the ones we want to try in real life. And I really like this categorization more because it's not as judgy or like...
Yeah, it also doesn't name specific practices. It just names that there's like different contexts in which you would talk about or not talk about your fantasies. And I wonder like, is it bad that there's some that you only keep to yourselves, but I also kind of enjoy it because it's like something that's fun for me. And I don't really feel the need to share everything with my partners always. I find the second one interesting with the ones we share with our partners to up the steaminess of sex, because that is still different from the ones you want to try in real life. So with partners, you're not necessarily trying it. You're just sharing it.
Yeah.
And seeing if the idea turns both of you on, which I find, or all of you, if you're more than 2 people, knock yourselves out. have fun. I think that's also interesting that kind of sharing a fantasy and having the other person fantasize about it too can bring both of you in like a similar erotic state without even having to carry it out.
Yeah. It has something of role play, I feel like.
Yeah, a bit. Hmm. It's very interesting to me. But I find it very sweet. And then as a third one to have ones you try in real life, I find, yeah, I also like this differentiation a lot more than the ones done in the 50s, which is also the 50s in the West are quite a conservative time, right?
True.
Where it's very much like you have a heterosexual marriage and two kids and don't ever have an open relationship, etc., which is also completely fine if that's what you're up to. But I also think that just generally categorizing things into common and uncommon is just a nice way of saying normal and abnormal. Mm. And that these three categories by G.G. Engel are not there to judge the fantasies. They're just kind of there to explain when you would like to do what or what they're there for. Because, I find it interesting. Would you share? Because, as I already mentioned, I have a big trouble sharing fantasies with partners. I think it's getting better, but it's really a thing for me. Even though I must say, I think I have, I don't know why it's so intense. I don't know where this like weirdness for me comes about it. I'm learning more to communicate what I'd like to try. But I also don't know if I have such strong, specific fantasies. I think I have certain practices that I find interesting, but I also don't know if I want to share with my partners because I don't want to put them in the position where they think like, okay, we have to do this or we have to try this, because I don't know if I would actually like it.
Yeah, and I feel like, as you mentioned before, with some fantasies, that doesn't have to be the point of it. And it can also be nice to have this for yourself as well, that you don't have to share, that it's maybe your own. And because you don't want to try it, maybe you don't want to tell about it and it's just for you, maybe also just doing masturbation or something like that, right?
Yeah.
But I really like that these three categories just help contextualize and not box it in into something.
Yeah, because I also think that they could vary a lot. I mean, the ones you keep to yourself and the ones you share with partners or the ones you want to try are definitely very individual to every person still, and their needs. So I think, this is a lot more of a holistic and open way to kind of see sexual fantasies and think about them. And yet we still have kind of, we both still kind of took an interest to see what's popular out there.
Yes.
What's popular out there, especially like on porn sites, we didn't categorize these as the ones we're going to talk about now aren't necessarily ones you want to try in real life or with the partners or you keep to yourself. We don't really know this based on data from porn sites, which ones these are, but we kind of wanted to go through because a lot of, porn sites kind of publish at the end of the year what the most watched categories were.
Oh, yeah, the best of, like the Spotify wrap for porn.
The Spotify wrap for porn. And one of the biggest tube sites we just looked at was Pornhub to kind of see, because so many people use it, what's trending and what's changed. And would you kind of like to take a guess? I think we can, maybe take a guess of the different, maybe top five trending categories you believe in, and maybe give a short explanation why. And then I can, maybe you don't have to explain. But let's start with what they are. What do you think the top five are?
But let's go step by step, right? Because I don't want to.
Yeah.
Should I start from the bottom or from the top?
Ah, you actually want to.
Right,
I wasn't going to make it that hard for you.
Okay. If it's just general, I can manage, I think.
Okay, let's try.
Okay, I think definitely one is group sex, like group stuff. I would even put it at one of the highest positions. And I feel like it's very popular because it's a very unattainable thing for many people, or like very fantastical, very like, ooh, this would just happen once in a lifetime. This mm-hmm. is very exciting, because I do feel like porn is an outlet mostly for things that does not happen in real life for most people.
Yeah.
For like perceived ideals and things like that. I think we talked about it in another episode as well, in oral. It's another form of getting like undivided attention for many people, like for men, for instance, like, oh, multiple women, that's so excited. Like, if we're talking about this very heterosexual point of view.
Yeah, wish where you want attention from multiple people.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. yeah. Yeah, kind of going in like a more, I guess, traditionally called gangbang. Gangbang's the reverse.
Is it? I didn't know that it had like a meaning, though. I think it was just people's stuff.
Group sex or an orgy is when there's a bunch of different people, and gangbang is usually a bunch of men and a woman.
Ah.
And she's kind of taking all of them, and they're all...
Oh, okay.
Yeah. On her, and she's pleasing everyone. And
But I would think this is a bit more specific. I could imagine that most guys like that as well, but...
Because it's like a power thing.
Yeah.
But yes, a gangbang would also fall under group. So you say group is kind of
group
one of them.
One of them.
Mm-hmm. What is another one you think it is? I'm only going to tell you at the end. I'm going to let you hop on in with your theories first.
Some categories are rough to guess, but I think in general, rough sex is something because it has something uninhibited for people. Then I also think sex with people that you're not supposed to have sex with. So if it's like this fantasy of like school teacher, school girl, hot secretary, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
How much do I need to say? Five?
Five. Three.
Oh, I have
two more to go.
Anal.
Mm-hmm.
But speaking of, is this... categories for straight people or in general?
I think in general, just what the most trends are. I also looked up what the gay most Pornhub searches are. We can get into that in a bit, but this is for everyone.
Lesbians?
Ah, interesting.
Maybe. Because I know straight men are obsessed with that as well. Yeah. And I would, maybe that's my bias now, but I think that's
the straight men are the most watched.
Yeah, the most, the demographic or Pornhub mostly.
Actually a good question.
So now I have four or five?
I think that was five. Wait, let's go over again. You did.
So group.
Rough sex.
Rough.
Anal.
Lesbians. And, people you don't have supposed to have sex with.
People you're not supposed to have sex. Okay. I will now.
Drums.
Okay. The number one biggest trend was the golden age, so-called. So searches like MILF,
DILF, completely mature, forgot that.
Mm-hmm, granny.
Oh, GILFs.
GILFs. Mm-hmm. So people like to see, especially men. This is especially men searches. Yeah, mature is the second most popular category among men.
No ageism.
Yeah, I think this is interesting. We talked about this before because it's always assumed that straight men have this thing with searching for kind of women they can dominate. But in the MILF, it's kind of the other way around, right? They are kind of seduced and taken, and they don't have to have this authority. So I find it super interesting.
Yeah.
The second biggest trend was sizes. So
the size difference?
No, like bigger, biggest, big boobs, big ass,
big dick.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't even think that basic.
Yeah.
Like, of course.
The people like the sizes. So everything that's big or massive or anything like that. Yeah.
I mean, that's self-explanatory, I feel like. You want to see, like, the extreme, I guess.
I also think, especially with these, there's also such a societal pressure.
Yeah.
Especially for men with the dicks.
Hmm.
Everyone wants them to be big for no reason at all.
And I mean for women as well, with like ass and titties.
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
It's like, yeah, very much a norm of how your body is supposed to be while being crazy thin.
And so for the first one, I think authority, I always think many men that, like for instance, businessmen that have the power in real life, they sometimes want to let go.
And then do the MILF.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then, you know, people want the sizes, which, yeah, people like to see. And then the third is sex machines.
Oh, really?
Interesting, right? That I was also shook. They want like the sex robots, sex machines. They want the...
No, the AI is taking over.
The AI is taking over. People want like the virtual reality porn, the non-playable character, etc., etc.
Oh, yeah, the NPC trend.
Yeah, the NPCs.
Oh, my God, I forgot because I talked to a friend the other day who watches stuff like that. And I was like, oh, because I think it was funny as well at the start, but I didn't watch it really on the regular.
I've never seen one, I don't think.
I think I just saw like the memes or like the little snippets, and he was watching it for real. And I was like, oh, what is that about? And it's like so fun. And he was like, it's kind of hard. And I was like, oh.
Interesting. Okay.
Because it's like some, also like something with submissiveness.
Mm-hmm.
Like. Yeah.
Interesting. Number four is uniforms. People love soldiers, military, cops, cosplay.
In today's climate.
Yeah, they just really are up for that uniform life. And interestingly enough, the fifth category, the fifth biggest trend of last year, is sexual healing. So things like therapy and massage therapy and foot therapy and massage therapist.
For real.
Personal trainer. I know, I was also shocked. This is
on
my
this
most
Pornhub.
People want to heal.
I love that.
I also think it's super cute. Yeah, the massage therapist and just therapy was up. Therapy sex.
Damn. Maybe they corrected the numbers. But otherwise, I'm like very, very, I'm very surprised. That's nice.
It's super nice. And I think, yeah, there's also like things that grew a lot, which is a bunch. But I will also quickly go over the most searched terms.
Mm.
Because I was talking about this the other day, because for instance, when I watch porn, I don't search. I just look at the overview page.
Oh, you're like, what's trending today?
I look at like what picture interests me.
The graphic design.
Yeah. It's so pretty. I guess who I find hot.
Yeah.
And then I watch that porn.
For me, it's also a lot about the face. really? I like, oh, you need to have a nice look about yourself.
But some people I've spoken to really have like very specific things that they fantasize about and enjoy and immediately type it in when they go on the site. And those were in 2023. I don't know. There's a bunch here. Yeah. I'm just going to read like the first couple. Hentai.
Ah.
Super popular, super big market.
I feel like hentai is also an outlet to cross some boundaries, because I feel like lots of hentai is very assaulty or like
weird schoolgirl vibe. Yeah.
And not everything, of course, but
yeah, it does. Yeah. But it's animated, so it's not with the
It pertains to different.
It's like
rules,
Yeah, people love the hentai.
It's also heightened. Yeah.
The second one is MILF again.
Back to
people
it.
Really like
love that for them.
Now, one the ones you mentioned, lesbian is here. Third most searched term.
The straight gaze.
Yeah. Japanese.
Uh-huh.
Anal. Asian.
Oh, I also had that one.
Yeah, you had the anal. Ding, ding, ding. Asian. Latina. Big ass. Stepmom. Anime. Threesome. So the group.
I feel like with all of those like ethnicities and stuff like that, that's also interesting because oftentimes it represents so much more. Yeah. Also like submissiveness and or dominance, which is super interesting.
Yes, because for instance, something that's often associated with like a racist association is, for instance, that Asian women are more submissive and then that Latina women are not as submissive.
Yeah.
Or ebony is also one of the categories and the most searched. So yeah, the kind of fantasies regarding to those are oftentimes racist projections on especially women, even though I must say, yeah, BBC is also here.
Yeah.
Black men really also got a whole bunch of racist associations associated with them.
Yeah.
Yeah. And these fantasies. What else do we have here? We have the stepmom. People you should not be having sex with. Yeah. Yeah, that was one of yours. Anime. People really love the animated stuff. Massage. Cream pie. Gangbang.
Ah, that came up late. I was bad in this. I was bad.
You weren't that bad. I honestly was not expecting these categories at all. At the trends.
Mm.
I mean, the searches, I'm like, ah, yeah, okay, this sounds like things that would be searched and kind of reflect, yeah.
Yeah, but interesting.
But yeah, but as I also mentioned, there's like a gay most search term.
Oh, true.
I'm quickly going to go over those.
Hit me.
Are you ready?
I think so.
Number one is twink.
Sorry.
You're like the gays. What are you doing?
Come on. Can you come up with something else?
More creative. The second one is anime.
Oh.
Then we also have Asian and hentai.
Mm-hmm.
We have curious straight friends.
Of course.
We have straight.
Of course.
We have furry, femboy, black Korean BBC.
Black Korean BBC?
Yeah. They're separate.
Ah, Black, I was Korean. Like, oh, now we're getting creative.
Damn.
Like,
they just went all in with
very
the racism.
Specific.
Yeah, no.
Everybody likes that.
Three different categories. Massage, Japanese, gangbang, big dick, public, glory hole, cruising, and doctor.
I mean, not to hate on the gays, but I feel like they've been stuck. At least the other categories, they had some development with
the sexual healing. Whole sex machines.
Yeah, and sexual healing. But
yeah.
The gays are still stuck on twinks and straight men.
Yeah.
Sorry. No hate.
For your fantasies.
Love wins.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think we went over these to not say that these, because they're the most popular, are the most reasonable fantasies to have, just to kind of give you an overview of things that people, when they enjoy watching porn with their fantasies, kind of look for.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think fantasies are quite different and individual, though.
Yeah.
I think there's like common ones that, as we mentioned before, are kind of can be associated with, general cultural portrayals. One that's also really been growing last year, I also saw it in the year before, is trans.
Hmm.
People are interested.
Oh, yes. And this is always a very interesting dynamic, like with the oppression of marginalized groups, that the porn activity rises up, because oftentimes the people who do the oppressing do...
The masturbating
are also
too.
Interested to that and in that, and because that's not also just limited to trans people. It's the same with like black people or
queer
other groups.
Lesbians,
etc. Did you notice then when they had this Republican summit in America that the Grindr service went down because there was so much traffic?
Yeah, I heard about this.
Yeah. That's an example for that. Yeah.
Sure. But yeah, I think we're kind of not talking about these we're not really judging the individual necessarily.
Yeah.
We're just kind of mentioning that some of these have connotations that kind of reflect what point we're at in society, and that these do have underlying connotations, but that, for instance, there's also a bunch that are just like POV or amateur that are searched for a lot, which are kind of away from that.
Very immersive.
Yeah. And that there's also always a constant change. Every year there's different trends picking up. I think the year before, one of them was also jerk-off instructions, where jerk-off instructions is like a porn category where women kind of in a, not a dominating way, but they kind of touch themselves and explain to the male watching how to jerk off or when they're allowed to touch themselves. Mm-hmm. And this kind of like mini dominating session kind of had a huge rise, J-O-I, I think it's called, in the last years.
J-O-I.
So okay. There's always kind of like different trends. And I think it's interesting also if you kind of are away from that or if you don't use porn at all, you, your fantasies are just simply not listed. But I think there's this, I don't know, rule 34. If you've thought it, there's a porn about it.
Yeah, there's also a lot of...
And I think that's like the same for fantasies. Mm. If you've thought about it, someone else is fantasizing about it.
Mm.
And that's kind of very interesting to me that there's so many different things and some are something a lot of people have, some things less people have. Some are super specific. Like, I don't know, some people really enjoy the idea of silk on their skin.
Or being tickled.
Or being tickled. Yeah. So I think there's like so many niches of also completely different thoughts. Because for me, for instance, I do it very differently when I fantasize. I don't have like specific fantasies. I usually, that are with no one. For me, it's very difficult to fantasize if I am not fantasizing that someone is doing it to me. And I usually fantasize about a person I know or I'm sleeping with, usually someone I'm sleeping with, because that's attractive to me, doing it with them.
Yeah.
But the fantasy itself only is fun to me if I think they would like it too.
Yeah.
And I think that's super different because also in this like Cheeks questionnaire we did, there's like different categories. And that's also, I think, kind of interesting markers we looked at for how people fantasize. So one of them is, for instance, how many people?
In your fantasy.
Yeah, like in your ideal fantasy, how many people would there be?
Hmm.
So 1, 2, 3, 4 or more. Because some people also really like kind of this, jerk-off instruction or masturbation.
Hmm.
So I think that's like an interesting marker. How many people do you want to be part of your, or are parts of your fantasy? Then I think one is also location. For instance, like in public or...
on the kitchen counter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Indoors, outside, maybe at the beach.
Yeah.
Which... yeah, you might only want to fantasize about, because for me also...
public indecency is not something you like.
Yeah, it's not something you would necessarily want to do.
Mm.
I don't know if your fantasy is to have sex on public transport because you find the idea thrilling that someone, the entire train watches you while doing it or something. It's not something you would actually do in real life.
I mean, some fantasy I feel like also live or
just
thrive off
fantasy.
That they're a fantasy and also that they're a secret and that they're not practical or realistic as well.
And I think also that's why having a certain fantasy does not make you a bad person necessarily. Also, if you're fantasizing about... forbidden things that you would never, ever, ever, ever want to do in real life. You just kind of have an outlet for them. It doesn't necessarily make you a bad person or mean that you should be ashamed of what turns you on when you are privately doing it. I think it's just important to always reflect, okay, is this fantasy actually affecting someone or is it just bringing me joy? And is it then separate from others?
Totally. Yeah, I mean, psychologically, fantasies come from past, or they can come from past experience, or they involve some anticipation for future activities, desires, or dreams. And yeah, as we said, that doesn't mean that they have to materialize in real life. Research oftentimes has shown that fantasy's content is highly dependent on what a person reads, sees, listens, and experiences. So it totally makes sense that also some porn categories reflect how society views certain types of people. So they represent something psychologically, but they do not have to represent actual wishes or desires. I feel like what's interesting about sexual fantasies is that they always represent like a fictional setting where you are ultimately in control and can satisfy specific emotional or like physical needs. And it's also an opportunity to act outside of social norms and stuff like that. And that's why with the previous research where lots of countries were ignored, it felt a bit useless because it's also very dependent on your culture, right? If it's like your society, but also stuff like work culture, like a CEO has probably different fantasies than, I don't know, a bus driver or something like that.
Oh, no, but maybe also not.
Maybe also not.
And that's kind of interesting. I think the role of imagination and desire is interesting in fantasies because no matter who you are, you could have very different fantasies or very similar ones. And there's not like a marker that makes you necessarily someone who's, I don't know, super into group sex or super into masturbation or super into public sex. And I think that that's super interesting that all you have to be able to fulfill this need of a sexual fantasy is your imagination.
Totally.
And I think that's kind of poetic in a way.
Yeah.
That you just have to be able to kind of imagine it. And I think something that can kind of engage you with things is, yeah, kind of the culture you're exposed to, for instance, pop culture. For instance, when Twilight came out, there's like a bunch of like Twilight porn or vampire porn, more specifically, not actually Twilight, but yeah. And I think it can kind of be also dependent on what you're reading, what you see in the media, what you're listening to, and your personal experiences and what your personality is. If you're kind of more dominant and then you fantasize about being less dominant in the bedroom, or the other way around, or you are dominant in your personality and want to be that way in the bedroom too. And I think that's kind of nice to imagine yourself in different roles and in different perspectives and with different people in different places.
Totally.
And there's been, yeah, a bunch of kind of studies about the imagination. And in this study in 1995 by Leitenberg and Hennig, they also found that for both men and women, they kind of reviewed what common type of fantasies are. So something that a lot of people do, these aren't like specific ones like we looked at with Pornhub, but more like categories of things people are often fantasizing about, which is intimate sexual imagery with known or imaginary lovers. So what I mentioned before and what's also kind of in the quiz, that for instance I like to imagine with known people and have very big trouble imagining or fantasizing with imaginary partners. I don't really know why. But the second category is then fantasies involving sexual prowess and seduction, oftentimes also including multiple partners, which is, yeah, one of the categories in the how many people do you want. And also kind of what we saw with the MILF or the mature, kind of this want to be seduced. And the third is scenes of an exploratory nature, which is different settings, positions, practices.
The locker room.
Questionable partners. Mm. So all of this kind of more explorative things that you wouldn't necessarily want to test out, but you kind of like the idea of. And the fourth one is submission and dominance acts. So a lot of people envision one party to be more dominant or submissive than the other. And I think that these are also an interesting addition to this, what we mentioned earlier with the things you think about, you share, and you want to try.
Yeah.
Because here there's also fantasies that kind of go by a different category system that would work together as well. You could probably categorize these into things you want to try. For instance, scenes of an exploratory nature might be something you don't actually want to try, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
And true. Yeah, in this like cheeks quiz for your fantasy, we also kind of looked at scenes of an exploratory nature, kind of what setting you want to try, because in porn, you can kind of do it a bit better than in your actual private life. So your fantasy can be brought to life a bit better, which is, yeah, a fun little part of this campaign.
Totally. Yeah. But I feel like it's so interesting that the fantasies represent so much psychologically, but they can look so differently.
Yeah.
Like, I think they can be infinitely creative and still represent different things. So maybe the two fantasies on paper look the same, but they have totally different meanings. And I don't mean that everybody needs to analyze their fantasies or like their things where they're from. But you having talked about Twilight reminded me of this ContraPoints video. So Natalie Wynn also had talked a lot about sexual fantasies in that essay. And it was really interesting because it was also about why people have sexual fantasies or what that may represent. And in that video, she also quoted Sigmund Freud, who said the sexual instinct has to struggle against certain mental forces which act as resistances, dams upon sexual development like disgust, shame, and morality. This was from his essays on the theory of sexuality. And the theory is basically that fantasies help rip through these mental blockages, you know what I mean. And it was also about, because Twilight or also 50 Shades of Grey is oftentimes like, oh, this is so problematic. He's stalking her. And it's a lot about that, on why people, or like what societal pressures enforce or inspire these fantasies, which I found super interesting. And Natalie Wynn had this concept of disavowal, which is basically the process of constructing a fantasy situation where your desires are gratified without having to assert or even having to acknowledge the desire. So you get to have this wish fulfillment without actually being like, oh, I want this. So for instance,
I totally get this.
Yeah.
Because if I just fantasize about it, I don't actually have to tell someone, and the desire is satisfied.
Yes.
But I don't need someone to do it for me. I can just self-sufficiently do it myself and have this very specific thought that
yes.
I enjoy.
And also if you consume media like that, or if you have something that's, let's say, problematic, like Edward is stalking you, this represents something, like someone is guarding you, or you can still be like, oh, I don't want that. And
can still find the concept of someone stalking you sexy, but never would want ever someone to
It's like some
totally get it.
Some safety, and it's
what it actually stands for.
Yeah.
This deeper in you. It's in super interesting this concept.
And it's also because of lots of the media, like Twilight, 50 Shades of Grey, the main characters are very, let's say, bland or very normal people.
Yeah.
And then there's this
exciting
the
thing.
Monsters fighting for her, or like the billionaire or whatever. And you get to be like, oh, but I'm just a normal girl, and I still
magical
have like
things are happening
yeah
to
but
me.
Everybody's obsessed with me. And that's why I find it was so interesting, like how she engaged with that topic. And because, let's say, like fantasies can be quote-unquote problematic, like being stalked, of course people would be like, what's wrong with you? But this represents something.
For sure. And I think that that's something generally to be said about fantasies that are categorized as problematic. I think aside from pedophilia, which is an illness, and if you're having fantasies in this direction, we really do encourage you to talk to someone about it. But for instance, others where it's more about, yeah, you're getting stalked, even though you would never want to get stalked. This is kind of an outlet for this deeper desire of being protected, for instance. And I think people also have this sometimes that people are ashamed of certain fantasies because they're like, oh no, I'm this and this because I don't know, I'm perverted because I fantasize about being treated in a certain way or having sex at a certain place and everything. And I think that this isn't the case.
Yeah.
In your, because it's a fantasy world, that doesn't mean that's who you are. It just means that something about this does something to you that causes you pleasure.
So fantasies often do not express literal desires. They have to be thought more psychologically instead of literally. But it still makes sense to address certain fantasies or to think of some of them deeper. For instance, if some fantasies really reinforce societal imbalances or some, for instance, I feel like racial fantasies, stuff like that, should often be questioned more, or like it makes sense to address things or at least to think about why you have certain fantasies sometimes. There's this very interesting essay, Decolonizing My Desire, from Jeremy O'Harris. You probably know him. He's the author of Slave Play. And I found it interesting because he also wrote about that he was basically very enamored with the concept of whiteness, with like art figures and stuff like that. And that in that process, he also lost himself, like as a black man. And I think that's an example for that it makes sense to also address things, especially if you're uncomfortable with it or if you feel like there's like a reinforcement of something that's already inherently there, like in society, in your everyday. If your fantasy is really like an outlet, because it makes sense if you use your fantasies always also as a way of escape or like of a way of reclaiming sexual power or imagination instead of reinforcing your traumas or oppression.
For sure.
So fantasies without the material analysis, I feel like, sometimes fail for me. Yeah.
Talking more about fantasies can really help you to destigmatize that and to make you feel more comfortable. But as I also said, there's really, for me, talking about fantasies is super difficult.
Yeah, I think you don't have to also.
Yeah, sometimes some things I don't want to share. And I also find it a bit difficult to detail exactly what it is. Because for me, I don't have something like, I really want a silk scarf to touch me or something, you know? Because people have really specific fantasies or a certain role. I don't want anyone in a uniform or anything. You know, I don't have any like specific... Or I remember people are obsessed like with cosplay a lot and they want you to reenact certain characters or go in like a role play direction. Yeah. I don't have these type of things.
Yeah. I mean, there are also different fantasies like we talked about before, like abuse fantasies or like ravishment fantasies. And it's also interesting because sometimes this can also be explained with this disavowal theory or like with this concept, because there's this one quote which was super interesting, that especially in a culture where sexuality is so engulfed with shame, especially women's sexuality, that in that fantasy you have no other choice but to have the sexual pleasure, and that you, again, this wish fulfillment, right, you have the pleasure and there's no chance of saying no, so the pleasure becomes a yes in a way. I mean, I didn't word it very well, but maybe you get what I mean.
Yeah, and I think fantasies are interesting because, yeah, there are gender roles that we all feel we need to go into, but I think also this MILF thing shows us that also a lot of straight men don't want to be the dominant side. They kind of want to be seduced, and shows that there's the fantasies are a lot more diverse than the gender roles we ascribe to people, and that kind of talking and letting people talk more openly and feel more comfortable about their fantasies allows them maybe to not necessarily outlive this fantasy, but to kind of show, for instance, this person doesn't want to be dominant and wants kind of a different structure or something.
Yeah, or just to be multifaceted.
Yeah. And this kind of allows you to test out things in your sexual life that might please you more. And I think if you're concerned about the fantasies you're having, do feel free to talk to someone or to talk to a therapist more specifically about it. Because I think if you're concerned with your fantasies or feel unhappy, then you can't really enjoy them because you're so unsure if it's okay. Mm-hmm. And maybe really talking to someone and kind of hashing it out, what kind of the deeper meaning is behind them, and feeling comfortable in yourself to fantasize and allowing yourself to have fantasies is super important.
Yeah.
And to feel like you can have your desires.
Totally. A quote that I also really like about that is from the preface to The Claiming of Sleeping Beauty by Anne Rice, where she said, "The books aren't about literal cruelty. They are about surrender. The fun of imagining you have no other choice but to enjoy sex," which again shows like this just wanting to get rid of like these boundaries or like these societal expectations and concepts like shame or feeling guilty about wanting to have pleasure or certain wishes or roles. Yeah.
For sure. And so, yeah, we really hope that you take away from today that there's a bunch of different fantasies. There's a lot of facets to them. We really hope you aren't ashamed. And if you're ashamed, please get some help. Or if you're unsure, talk it through with someone. But yeah, we encourage you not to overthink your fantasies and instead to enjoy them and please yourself. And we also encourage you, of course, to vote until the 11th of August and note down your fantasies for our Cheeks Vote for Your Porn campaign. The type form link is in our description. And yeah, encourage you to then watch our very hot outcome of all of our community fantasies put together.
Community fantasies, that sounds so...
It's so cute, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Hot.
So get on it, go vote, and let's create some community fantasies together.
Yes. And remember, in general, also that there's different ways of your fantasies. You don't have to share them. If you do want to share them and are unsure how to, you can also check out our episode on consent, because kind of practicing consent talk as a way of testing out new things is always a great way to go. And we kind of go over like a little structure there that can help you. And yeah, we hope you have a lot of fantasies and feel a bit less ashamed of them after our episode today. And we wish you a lot of fun and desire with them.
Yes, and hope to see you on the next time of Cheeksy Chats.
Bye.
Bye. We'll be right back.